Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
You know, she wasn't nervous at all.
Like, yeah.
She was totally 100% ready to do this. And the woman's looking at me, and, you know, we put a band around her hair right where they wanted to cut it.
Okay.
And because they have a certain length that it has to be in order to donate it.
I see.
And so we put the band there, and the woman looked at me, and she's a mom, too. And her hands were shaking, and she looked at John and I and said, "Are you absolutely sure that you want to do this?" And Christian turned around and said, "Are there still kids that don't have hair?" And the said, "Yeah." And she said, "Then yes."
So there is a need, and she's got a heart for that need. That's awesome.
Yes, that, and you know, her hair was so long that it was getting caught in her shirt when she would put on a sweatshirt or a jacket, and it was, you know, it's hard to sleep when you have hair that goes down that you can sit on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's hard to.
I mean, I totally understand that. I'm sitting on my hair right now, and. It's no, I'm just kidding.
Headache?
Oh, look,
because that would hurt. Yeah,
I didn't realize there were other people listening in on this. How are you guys doing? How are you doing?
Yeah.
Welcome
hey,
to
it's
the
podcast.
I'm Steve from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and that over there is Lori down in San Antonio, Texas,
where it's warm and sunny.
And we're here to talk about new episodes of Down Gilead Lane. How exciting is that?
Finally, here to talk about new episodes of Down Gilead Lane. That's right.
We're three episodes in. Yeah, I know. Season 11 is totally off the ground, and almost four episodes in this weekend. We've got another episode coming up, so we need to kind of recap episodes 1, 2, and 3, and that's what we're going to do here on the podcast. Do you want to get right into it, Lori?
Let them eat cake.
All right. Ooh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
No.
You're talking about Christian's birthday, and now we're talking about
cake. And that is true.
Starting to get hungry, but yeah, that was the episode where we kind of picked right up from where we left off at the end of season 10. And everybody wanted to know what was going to happen,
And we picked right up, if I am not mistaken.
We picked
right up on that one,
pretty much.
We left no space, or not a lot of space. We went right back into where things stopped, and you guys got to know the answer. Are there bulldozers coming down Gilead Lane? Which was the big question, and of course the other question: how many times are there going to be bulldozers coming down?
Right. Yeah. I really liked just how we handled, you know, instead of fighting and taking on this cause as some kind of crusade or something like that, you know, everybody kind of stopped in that moment and said, "What if we go love these guys? What if we just kind of love on them?" That was kind of a curveball a little bit, I think, for the workers for sure. And then, just the fact that they kind of had this food and drink to offer to these guys, that was kind of cool.
I thought it was cool how the food and drink kept showing up.
Yes, which, you know, you may have to order the retail version of the episode, shopcbh.org, by the way, if you want to hear some of those extended scenes, but yeah.
Oh, there were extended scenes. See, that was something a lot of people were asking about. Of course, Lori wrote this season, so there's going to be a lot of extended scenes, I'm sure.
I think we'll probably hear plenty of that. But did we get feedback from listeners on this show?
Yeah, there were a lot of people. I actually kind of happen to think that a lot of people were just so happy to have the program back that they gave it stars just because they heard new stuff.
Right, that's always good. If you want to score high, just, you know.
Just go on hiatus for a few months.
Right.
It'll be high when it comes back. Daniel R., of course, 5 out of 5, loved the program. He loved the lessons. He thought Grace's forgiveness to everyone was absolutely fantastic. We had Lori saying that she really loved the program, and we even heard from Riston. We haven't heard from Riston in a while.
Oh, cool.
Riston wonders what caused the tree to come down, because it seemed kind of odd to have everything happening all at once.
Yes. Well, you know, it's just interesting how when things sort of just happen seemingly coincidentally, you know, mm-hmm. or just without explanation. I mean, it was a windy night. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of old trees on Gilead Lane, so it's not like it was, you know, completely out of nowhere. But, yeah, you know, sometimes there are things that you kind of look at circumstances and how they've come together and you just have to say, God? You know, are you, is this...
God had to be in there somewhere.
So it's kind of cool to look for God's hand in things that seem random.
The way it works out, yeah.
And coincidental. And especially, you know, I don't want to preach too much here, but sometimes when things don't go our way, when mm-hmm. tragedy happens and when sad things happen, it's maybe even more important, or it's just especially important to look for God's hand in those times as well.
But and sometimes anyway. You can see it better after the fact. You know, sure. At the time, the Morrisons had no idea what was happening. But you can look back later and go, obviously God's hand was in that. And that's the way I think real life is for
it's
all
good.
Of us.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Let's skip right into Short a Few Z's.
Okay.
Actually, that was Short Fuse or Short a Few Z's.
Short a Few Z's. That's
right. Right, right.
And for that one, we got the poll back up for the first time, which we,
oh, that
we
was
should
good.
Probably mention that because with the new message boards, there is now not a poll function unless you are like a super moderator or whatever.
Right.
We are. So we've worked that out. Daniel's sending me, you know, his opening things so that we can get stuff set up, and now we've got the poll back up, and on that one we had a resounding 60% and gave it 5 stars.
Cool.
So I was pretty happy about that.
Nice.
But Short a Few Z's, we all know what that means by the end of the episode, right?
Right, right. Sometimes when you you know, when your sleep rhythms is, you know, upset, you can kind of get short tempered, and I think maybe Tim is experiencing sort of a transition with things not going as he planned and, you know, missing out on going on a fishing trip and, you know, things like that. And Justin's having to get up super early, you know, to start his new job. And so we're not seeing him and
like
we're expecting to see more of him. And
responsible
so it's just,
now, yeah.
Yeah, it comes back to that theme of just, you know, what were your expectations? What were you hoping for going into something, and are you putting too much importance on your own personal agenda and expectations, right? Would that be a good summary of what we're trying to say?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic summary of what we're trying to say. You've done a good job.
Okay, good.
Odell Juan Kenobi.
Yikes. Okay. And also, another important aspect of this episode is, you know, just hearing more of the older kids, you know.
Having everybody back together.
Right. That's something cool, I think, that's special about this season, season 11, being that it takes place during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Luke and Becca and Brooke and maybe even Caleb around for
Does Caleb
a good
show up, really?
I don't remember if he showed up in this episode, but he's going to be in season 11, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I wrote it, didn't I?
Yes, remember that? Of course, your head is already in season 12, and
yes,
mine is to some degree as well. But yeah, in season 11, we're going to see a
lot of... So it's going to be a fantastic season for that. We can yep. tell you that the course of the season is the summer break, the whole summer break. It covers this season.
Yep.
So we're just at the beginning of summer, and I liked Hope being prepared through this episode.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
I thought it was fantastic that she saw everything as an adventure. That's so
yes.
much like Hope. And you know, she just rolled with the punches. Just
yeah, that's something that's cool about Hope is she's, you know, she tends to be pretty flexible. She can roll with things and make the most of them. Somebody said I remember on the message board, somebody's talking about how optimistic Hope was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good word to kind of sort of summarize her character in this episode.
Well, if you think about the life that Hope has lived,
uh-huh.
The lights going out a couple times is nothing.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, she can handle that.
It's still fun because you're still with people that you like.
And you know, as I think about, you know, my little ones, my youngest is now 6, so... You know, right there where hope is at. And, you know, unless it's like a storm, like with lightning and thunder, you know, if the lights go out and you have to, you know, get flashlights and candles, that's just, there's something fun about that. You know, mm-hmm. you're not yet to the age where you need your electronic entertainment to, you know, to keep you happy. You can kind of entertain yourself with your imagination. And so that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And I think it's a great balance in what they were dealing with. I think the Morrisons needed hope to lighten things up at that point. So
right.
that works really well. And, you know, people seem to really like this episode. As I said, 60% gave it a 5 out of 5. And they thought it was fantastic.
Cool.
There was some mention of Justin's, what is that called? Justin's
soul patch?
Yeah, that's it. there was some discussion of that on the boards, and
yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. And
yeah, I love just the idea of one of our Morrison kids starting to sprout facial hair. That's,
yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
It makes you it gives you pause.
That's right. That's right. Okay, lights, camera, in action.
Lights, camera, in action. And that one, we had another poll. We were up over, well, close to 50%, thought that one was 5 stars.
Cool.
Kind of happy with that.
And, you know, it's interesting. Isn't the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences having their awards this weekend?
Yes, they are.
Oscars,
Sunday.
The big movie awards
Academy
coming
awards,
up.
Yes.
The Academy Awards, right. And here we have a budding filmmaker in the person of Hope. And, you know, it's interesting in that business, of course, you know, Hope isn't going like Hollywood with her production, but there is something about making a movie. You've got to work with a team. And whenever you're working with a team, it requires collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when you really are invested in your vision of your story, you're collaborating. Everybody else kind of maybe not have the exact same vision. You know, this is an example where Hope maybe wasn't quite as flexible or, you know, rolling with changes as she was in the previous episode. But we all need to stay involved, stay plugged in, even when we kind of have to adjust and tweak things, right? Wasn't that sort of what we're saying in this mm-hmm. episode?
Yeah, and you're needed there.
Yes.
You may be needed there even though your vision isn't turning out quite the way it should be.
Yeah.
You thought it should be. So,
right, right. And I mean, you know, even I just, as I think about how we put together Gilead, you know, you and Terry and John Fornoff and I, we kind of come together and we come up with ideas, and sometimes you have to adjust. You got to make little adjustments because somebody's idea may not match up with your idea, and you kind of have to be flexible. And that's the creative and collaborative process that mm-hmm. I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel like that is so fun. It's better doing it that way than trying to, you know, do it all myself.
Right.
And yet if I go, oh yeah, they've got it covered, I don't really need to be involved here, and I kind of go quiet, then it's something is lost in
right.
the process, right?
I
so,
agree.
Yeah.
You are the Odell.
And that's the body of Christ, too.
Yes, because everybody has their, everybody has their mission.
Yeah, we can't all be a hand. And yet, if the hand isn't doing his job, if you know, then the body is will be lacking in a part. So we got to play our part, but we also got to recognize that we are a part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good lesson in here. And, of course, everybody's freaking out. Grace may be leaving Coleraine and the Morrisons, too, according to Daniel, who wrote it
right.
like 38 in 38-point font.
Right. Huge, huge caps. Actually, they weren't caps, but, yeah. Anyway, it's interesting because, like, Grace, you know, she's just kind of, like, looking at her options. I mean, she may not have a choice. I mean, mm-hmm. there's bulldozers, you know. They've gotten, like, a little break because of the, you know, because of just all the mess that happened in episode one, but she still doesn't know what the future holds. So she's really kind of trying to think about all the options.
Is this the Lord closing the door for her in Coleraine, basically?
Right, right. But Mary Morrison, she seems a little more like how Hope is with this movie. Like, Mary's kind of like, this isn't the way I thought it would be, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's kind of how it seems. And I think we're going to pick up with that a little bit in episode 4. There's a little tease for you.
Yeah, there you go. We didn't leave that one hanging for too long.
We will continue the, here's a big radio drama word. We are going to continue the character arc for Mary.
Wow.
Into episode 4. But hey, how about that movie?
How about that movie? We worked hard on that movie.
Wouldn't it be fun if we could actually watch that movie? I wish that we, you know, had a companion
There's
product
some marketing
here.
For you.
There's some marketing. Montana Smith and the Lost Lion's Den of Daniel, or what was it called? Something like that.
I don't even remember. It was really long. We put in a whole bunch of things. And
right. The funny thing is that the tease that we played from that, that we put into the Cheesy Teasy podcast, mm-hmm. it doesn't even play. I mean, it's like in the background. It's like playing through the TV in the background in the episode. And I thought, we had so much fun producing that, we should at least be able to hear it, you know, like in full,
like
full
the whole
production.
Thing, yeah.
Right. But it was fun.
So there you go.
And with that, we're pretty much caught up.
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap.
On those three episodes. Now, we do need to address some things that we've gotten in the mail.
Yes.
And we have a haiku.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're going to do an actual mailbag segment with a haiku and everything. So take it away, Cal.
Ink on the paper, paper tucked in envelope, spells M-A-I-L. That, of course, from Daniel R. And
that's
that
beautiful.
Actually, yeah, that's cool. That opens our mail segment.
Of course, is any of this mail actually ink that came on paper that came in an envelope? I think it's all pretty
much. No, but you know, I kind of like the imagery.
Oh, I do too.
I thought it was really good, but no. And that was posted on the message board because there was some sort of glitch with our mail this week.
Yes, and we are going to address that. Thanks for the heads up. For some reason... yeah, we're having a glitch with the CC Funcast email address, but we are going to get it fixed, and we'll let you know as soon as it is fixed. So keep coming back to the blog page.
Yeah, keep going back to the blog page, and you know, Daniel did exactly the right thing. If all else fails, go to the message board and hit the coloring connection thread, put it up there. We'll make sure to see it there. So thank you, Daniel. He also put in some questions for an interview with Joyce Bean. So
Joyce Bean,
you
want to
keep that in mind, Mr.
Totally.
Odell.
All right.
And we do actually have some mail. Right?
All right. Look, I'm looking at it. So, yes. you know what's interesting about a lot of this mail is it shows that there are new fans coming into the Gilead universe.
Which we love.
Yeah, yeah. People discovering it, you know, they're you know, we got questions for all the way back to, you know, the first four seasons. We got a question about season 5. So that's awesome. And, mm-hmm. you know, all of you, you know, diehard fans that have been with us from the start and are totally up on where the storyline is at right now, welcome these new fans into the fold. And, you know, you could even go out and expose people who haven't heard Gilead to the whole series as well. Yeah.
To the virus.
The virus.
For a second, you said go out and expose people to the virus. You know, that's what popped into my head. But anyway, go out and, share the love that is Gilead. You guys love Gilead. And when new people come in and new people have questions, treat them with respect and nicely because you've been a fan for a long time, but they may not have.
Right.
You know, we love the new fans. We think that's fantastic. It's more to our Gilead family.
Yeah. All right. So can I just take a stab at one of these?
You go for it.
All right. So a fella named Caleb wrote and had a couple questions. Why did Anna's voice change? And the other question was, what is the secret of Gilead Lane? So that tells me that he's listening to season 1, where, you know, Anna was first originally introduced, and more recently here, even in season 11. Yeah, we've heard from Anna. We had an actress named Madison Christie when we started the show play Anna, and she is no longer in the area. She actually lives in Colorado now, and she's a college student, you know, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
The actress who plays Anna now, interestingly, is named Anna. Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And she does a great job. And so we had to recast the character, but you know, the character was so pivotal early on in that friendship with Michael, and then, you know, Maya sort of being an enemy, and now sort of coming full circle and sort of being included as friends with Michael and Maya still. That's kind of where we're at with that character. And the other question, what is the secret of Gilead Lane? Well, that was developed in those first four seasons of the show, where we found out that as a teenager, Tom Richter was not the best person, and he had an accident with the car that was being driven by Grace's parents, and Grace's parents, as a result, died in that accident, and that's where Grace was blinded.
Hmm.
And Tom's father, Tom Richter Sr., just wanted to cover up the entire event, and so he paid off certain officials. He forced, or, you know, strongly influenced other people to kind of keep the secret and suppress the truth. And so this was something that was in Tom's past and was being kept secret for years and years and years and years. And Grace was discredited, and everyone said she was crazy when she first came back to Coleraine there in season one of Down Gilead Lane. So that's sort of the secret of Gilead Lane. I hope that explains it in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot more detail to that, but I would really encourage you to get a hold of, you know, the backlist, as we say in the business. The first, you know, probably 8 or 9 seasons of Gilead Lane kind of developed that character of Tom Richter, the character arc, there's that phrase again, of just sort of the journey that he's been on, because it really is, you know, his story to some degree. I mean, yeah, it's Grace's story for sure, and the Morrisons play a pretty significant part in that, but to some degree, you know, this story is Tom Richter's story. You know, so anyway, I hope that answers the question, Caleb. Thanks for submitting it. You got another one, Lori?
Very good. Yes. Well, Kelby wanted to know, how can I get pictures of the actors? That's a Steve-O question.
Good question. Yes. We do have some pictures of the cast who played the Morrison family up until, I believe, season 8. And so that was where they were at that point in the story. And then we've also got a cast photo of the actors who play the Richters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was taken, I think, when we were in production on season 9, maybe 10. And they're
like, I have that postcard one on my office wall.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
They're like postcard size photos. To be honest, I'm not sure if we still have those photos in stock. May have gone through, you know, while they say, you know, how they say while supplies last. I'm not sure if supplies are still lasting, but we do have some behind the scenes videos of the cast talking about being a part of the production of Down Gilead Lane on our website, gileadlane.org.
So check that out for sure.
Check that out. And then as far as, you know, if you're looking for, well, no, the question says pictures of the actors, right? It doesn't say pictures of the characters. We don't really have any, like, artists' renderings of the characters themselves.
It's in your imagination.
Other than, you know, the covers of the CD sets, which if you don't have those, I would strongly encourage you, once again, shopcbh.org would be the place to go to get the CD sets of all 10 seasons of Down Gilead Lane, where you'll find artists' rendering of the characters on the cover.
Very good. Now, you know, the next question I know I can answer.
Okay.
Does Justin play Nick in Adventures in Odyssey? Jason wanted to know.
Huh.
No.
Are you sure about that?
Well, wait. Are you going to mess with my head here? Because I thought I would have known
bit.
That.
Yeah. No, no, the actor that plays Justin has not done any other radio drama other than Down Gilead Lane. He is a stage actor, so he has done, you know, a lot of plays local theater here in Grand Rapids, and he's a great guy,
mm-hmm.
but nope, hasn't done anything on Odyssey.
See, you're messing with my head. That's just not nice. The one question that I thought I could answer.
It's a little fun, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. If you're Steve, it's fun.
Okay, go ahead and address another question, and I promise I won't mess with your head on this one.
Okay, well, you can't mess with my head on the next one, because I'm going to answer the question about hope.
All right, go for it.
Okay. We received a question from Julie, who wonders, how did you get the name Hope?
Huh.
And, you know, it's very interesting. I'm going to go into stuff that I don't think that Steve expected me to go into.
Uh-oh. You're messing with my head now.
But we hit a point when we were all brainstorming and we were talking about the Morrisons, and the program was starting to skew a little older. You like that word?
Yeah.
And everything started to kind of get older, and we started talking about how can we introduce a younger voice into the program on a regular basis, because when we started, Timmy was like 6 or 7 something.
Yep.
And now he's not Timmy anymore. He's Tim.
No. Right.
And we were talking about that, and we talked about, should the Morrisons maybe have a baby? Surprise
baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
We talked about them adopting a baby. We talked about having a Christmas story type thing where a family comes into town and they don't have a place to stay, and maybe the Morrisons have their baby, you know, they take the baby because these people kind of drop them off, and we had all different storylines that were all written out. We started talking about this long back about when Lori started writing for Down Gilead Lane.
Yep.
But then we finally decided, you know, let's not do that. Let's talk foster child.
Yeah, and I think, you know, also we had a good sort of, you know, plot device in place with John Morrison being a family court judge.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
And that was what hit us the most was, wow, that is just the best storyline that we really, really like. We felt that was the story where God wanted us to tell the story.
Yeah.
And through all of that, we really felt that we needed hope. And I mean, her name, we've played on that several times, you know, putting the hope back in Christmas, putting the Christmas back in hope, things like that.
Right.
We loved the whole time having the idea of hope and grace living together on Gilead Lane.
Yes.
And so that's where that came from. Now, as for her last name, which is Turner.
Right.
That just came because it was a name that I was familiar with. I have some friends named Turner, and it was a name that we had not previously heard in Gilead.
Yeah,
but this morning, Steve gave me what he thought his impressions of that were, and I kind of like it much better than, hey, I knew some people in college named, or in high school named Turner. So, so go for it, Steve.
Oh, just the idea of movement, of turning, you know, turning from something to something, and that she, you know, Hope was, you know, kind of like a catalyst or a conduit, you know, especially in the episode where she was introduced, The Hope That Heals.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Easter special, and Mary was struggling with, you know, just feeling low and down and depressed and just having a lack of hope in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of, you know, spilled over. It was, you know, everybody was feeling it, you know, the whole Morrison family, they were just, it was, you know, a time of, you know, not feeling a lot of hope. And when the character Hope comes along, she turns that a little bit, you know? And so she was an agent of change. She was a turner for these people toward having some taste of hope. And of course, you know, God ultimately is the one who provides hope, you know, but Hope in her way sort of got that turn to happen. So anyway, so that was where I always thought.
Which was so much better than, hey, Lori went to the high school with the Turners.
But that works too.
I mean, yeah, it works out really well. It was obviously the name that God had planned for Hope.
Yes, right.
And so that works well. And we have one more question that's definitely a Steve O answering question.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. Haley, or Hallie, I'm not quite sure, would like to know, why does Becca hate her mom, especially when she came back?
Okay, another great question that indicates Haley is listening to the backlist. She's not just, you know, keeping current with episodes that are happening right now, but maybe she's gotten a set of this, you know, season 5 of Down Gilead Lane, because season 5 really dealt heavily with the Taylor family. And from the start of the series, all we knew was that, you know, Luke and Becca were these twins, and they were being raised by a single dad, which is common. That happens out there. And we wanted to sort of address this, you know, this struggle that many families have where it's just one parent raising the kids, and that's hard. And we alluded at times to the fact that mom had left. And so, you know, some years prior to where we come into the story in season one, you know, mom has left the family. And we didn't go into a whole lot of detail about that because we didn't really need to. I mean, that happens. And so the kids had, and Ben, their dad, had sort of learned how to kind of like function on that level of, you know, just it being just the three of us, you know, and they were doing well, and they were at this place of, you know, feeling like God is with them. He's blessing them. He's taking care of them, you know, and then all of a sudden in the middle of that, mom comes back. Mm-hmm. She shows up. And so Becca especially, just because she struggled probably the most with the kind of loss of mom, she just had to kind of like face that, are you going to forgive or not, you know? And when mom is not there, when she's out of the picture, it's kind of easier to kind of like just function day to day. But when she shows up and she's like right there in front of you, you have to confront it. You have to say, all right, am I going to forgive or am I going to hold on to bitterness? So I don't know if that answers the question. You know, it may on the surface look like, well, she came back, so that's good. That should make us happy. But I think Becca had some unresolved bitterness, if that makes sense, that she had to look at and face and deal with before she could get to the point of actually forgiving her mom. And I hope, Haley, by now, if you've gotten through, you know, season five, you know that Becca has come to the point of being able to forgive and embrace her mom. And so there you go.
And I think that answers all of our questions for the mailbag.
Very nice. Now, we do have another segment that we want to incorporate here in our podcast today. We've had, you know, Grace Andrews involved in all three of these episodes. I had to think for a second, but Grace was in Let Them Eat Cake. She was in Short a Few Z's. I hope that scene didn't get cut for broadcast. But she was also in Lights, Camera, In Action. And Karen Levine, the actress who plays Grace, is just an awesome lady. I mean, she is just so in tune with the Spirit of God. You know, he's just she walks closely with God, and that's just clear from conversations that we've had with her. Mm-hmm. She, like Grace, has had some difficulty in her life, some tragedy happen in her life, and so she knows, she can relate with the character of Grace very well. And so anyway, I don't want to give too much more preamble. I sat down with her at our last session, and we just had this little conversation that I wanted to share with you guys. Hey everybody, this is Steve. We're at the home of Karen Levine, the actress who plays Grace so masterfully. We came down here to do some recording, and it was just like we were welcomed into this really cool, magical home, which is kind of like Grace. So I guess maybe just talk about what it's been like for you. It's been since 2000 mm-hmm. that we started down Gilead Lane, and just playing Grace for us all these years.
I've absolutely loved it. I can honestly tell you that it's one of the greatest God things in my life. I've done, as you know, Steve, radio and television for about 35 years, radio and television commercials. But I always wanted to do something where God would be obviously glorified in what I do. And he brought this to me. I got a phone call one day from Randy, and he said, I think you're our Grace. And this was over the phone.
Yeah.
We interviewed over the phone. And I had done the Meyer commercials for 12 years. And so I guess there were some people that knew me from that. But God has given me every single job that I've ever done, all of these 35 years,
wow,
without exception. and I've worked steady. But when he gave me this, it was such a blessing. I'm so honored to play Grace. And there have been so many times when the script has been so appropriate for maybe something that I'm going through, or it touched me deeply on days when I was really struggling and I could minister the words that Grace gave me grace. Wow. When I ministered those words, when she ministered those words through the script. So I just count it blessing, and I'm just so happy that I can still do this.
Yeah.
And you still allow me.
Well, yeah, it feels like a privilege on our end too, you know, I mean, just that you still want to do it, you know, so. Can you think of a moment in particular, and I don't want to put you on the spot or anything like that, but a particular episode or moment in an episode that really impacted you?
I can't honestly tell you what the episode was. I can just only remember that it seemed like it was about death. Mm. And it touched my heart deeply. It wasn't at all hard to display the emotion that Grace was feeling, because I could feel at the same time. Mm. That's happened more than once.
Yeah.
You've been there with me several times when I've been touched deep in my heart and we had to stop for a while. I lost my son in a car accident when he was 18 years old. And it's sometimes is a very lonely journey, with the exception of the fact that God has given me the peace that passes all understanding and truly has guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Without his grace and his mercy and love in my heart and my mind, that has penetrated my soul and every fiber of my being, I can tell you that I don't know that I would be able to be the person I am today. He doesn't give us any more than we can handle or more than we can bear, and he's made that promise to us. But I couldn't have done it unless I had given my life to him and laid those problems at the foot of the cross and those heartaches at the foot of the cross. But it's given me the ability to be able to empathize with other people's loss and other people's pain. And so for him, I'm just very grateful to God for so many things in my life. But that was certainly the deepest and the hardest journey, and it still goes on. But there were scripts that brought that closer to my mind, and so they were harder to record, but not impossible, because I knew where I was going with it. I knew what it felt like.
Yeah. I just, as you talk, as you share, I just reflect, I just think about those times seeing Jesus in your life, Karen, and thank you also for right now just sharing that with our fans and opening yourself up like that. I just feel like the more people who really know Karen Levine, the more privileged people there are out there.
Well, I just appreciate this more than you know. I would like nothing better than to share constantly and do it at every opportunity, my faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, because I've certainly had some valleys in my life, but I count them blessings because of all that God has done for me. I see his work in my life every single day. All we have to do is look around when the morning greets us and know that he's given us another day to worship him here. Even in the coldness of this winter and the beauty of this day, I count it rest and wait anxiously for the spring, because spring represents to me new birth, a new life, and that's why it's just my favorite season. That's why I love to garden. That's why I'm so passionate about being outside. If you were to ask me what my favorite day is, you didn't, but I'm going to share it.
Okay.
My favorite day is a day where I go outside and it's a balmy spring day and the birds are singing. And it's just God and me all day long. And we talk and we share, and I talk to him all day long. I don't talk on the phone. I don't comb my hair. I have my hands in the dirt, and I work in the dirt all day long, and it's a beautiful, balmy day, and I just am thrilled beyond words on those days when I have it's just me and him outside.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for giving us
thank you for asking. And
I just so appreciate this. All right, I guess we need to wrap it up, but thank you again, Karen.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for everybody who listens. I just love you all.
Wow, well, it's just so cool to hear her.
Yeah.
And her story and how excited she is to be a part of Gilead. And
she's just got a great heart, so.
And it's awesome to have her here in the podcast with us in this way. I think it's,
yep.
I'm really glad that you were able to do that.
Yeah, so thank you again, Karen, for for that. We've just got a few minutes left in today's podcast.
Yes, we do.
We do have a few bloopers to play for you here from our recording session where, you know, we recorded these episodes that we've been talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoy these.
Just bring him over here.
Be careful. Oh, kids, please stay back.
Mary, would you call an ambulance?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say
that. No, sometime next
here.
Week.
Okay. I was trying to get the children out.
The nine is at the end and the one's at the beginning. 911. Oh, yes. Mary's leaning over the punch bowl going, I swear it was to the bottom just a few minutes ago.
It was empty. There was no cake.
All right.
Okay.
That's not what I signed up for.
Yeah. Dude. Oh, stop it, all of you. This is just a job and... cut me off. Mel.
Oh. Say, boss, there's a lot of cars over there in the at the mayor's house.
Oh, boy. That's what I want him to say.
All right. What's so fun about being without power and computers and TVs? The other day I went to watch TV. The other day I went... All right. Yeah. I'll just start over from the line.
Sorry, I'm just yawning. I think everyone should have a great summer.
So do I. And that's why I asked you to come spend your whole day here in the studio. Sorry. That was good.
Hey, Hope's upstairs, guys. Let's go find her.
I hope she's okay.
But we're still gonna shoot that one scene with me?
Maybe don't whisper, Tim.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Luke, stop hugging me.
What did he say?
He said, Luke, stop hugging me. That was really funny. Sorry.
I'm speechless. Brooke, everything okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I'm putting Hope to bed. She's had a long day with the party and us coming home and Grace nearly losing her house. She's pretty wiped.
Sure. Oh, I think we all are.
Yeah, I told her I'd read Grumpy Gary Goes to Camp, and that helped a bit.
Oh. Yeah, she loves that book.
And everyone else is starting to clean up.
Oh, thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome. Is he all right?
No, I think he's dead.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was just... It was Grumpy Gary that got me...
We're praying for
him. I mean, the guy's lying here in pain, and we're talking about... I'm going to read Grumpy Gary Goes to Camp.
I know.
Why don't we have Bruce go,
I love that one!
No, I'm sorry.
He's dying.
I couldn't pass it. Oh, man. It's just so fun. It is fun to work with these guys. They're just... Yeah, I feel guilty sometimes for how much fun I have doing this job.
You should, because, you know, some of us are sitting here working in a vacuum.
Right, and some of us are working with a vacuum, you know, cleaning the carpets.
But a bunch.
Sorry. All right, well, guys, that's all the time we've got for today. And, hey, don't forget, this weekend, in fact, some of you maybe have already listened to it before you've even downloaded this podcast, we have the next episode titled...
What should be, will be.
And that is so true, isn't it?
It is. Do you remember when we came up with the title?
Yeah.
This was one of those ones that Steve and I had the problems with the title on.
Right.
And we're finally
whatever it's going to be, it's the title that it should be. And so that was...
We're so deep.
Anyway, so enjoy that show, and hopefully we won't take this long before our next podcast.
No, we don't plan to. We had
it's been a crazy month. So.
Extraneous circumstances.
That's right. But so look for the next podcast to come your way in a couple weeks. In the meantime, God bless. Remember, every day needs a character arc.
Yes, it does. I like that.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.